There was a wind advisory on the way out here, and I could tell I was pushing against the wind a little bit, but we had a really good trip and are just glad to be here with you this weekend. We were on our way, and I asked Ellie, I said, did you bring a picture along? And she said, no, I didn't bring a picture. We had thought we forgot about it, and later I was looking through my Bible and found a picture of our family, which she will post afterwards. We have 6 children, 4 boys and 2 girls, 11 grandchildren. And it's been a, you know, I think about families and I think about life. Every period of life has its challenges and opportunities. And we're at the stage of life, I don't know if you knew this, but our youngest son is getting married this July. He and his girlfriend got stranded on the Pennsylvania Turnpike for 18 hours. He said, Dad, we had some quality time together. And at the 16th hour, he asked her if she had had enough memories for the weekend. He said, well, we could create a few more. And he proposed to her. So we're looking forward to, we thought, I guess, our baby. He came about 6-7 years after our daughter, Kendra. We're looking forward to their wedding this summer. The subject that I'm going to be looking at this weekend, I did quite a bit of thinking. Again, I've been a pastor for about 35, 36 years. And with all the, I know that I was thinking about it coming here. Doing church is hard work. As a young man, I remember thinking that if you just did this and this and this, things would just come together the way they're supposed to. In fact, while I was a student at Rosedale one Saturday morning, after coming home from Rosedale, we had a prayer breakfast. And during my time at Rosedale, I wrote this paper. The paper was entitled, A Critical Analysis, Central Mennonite Church. And that particular Saturday, I had a tough time getting something together. And in my youthful zeal, I decided to read that at our prayer breakfast. Needless to say, it was not the most complimentary of Central or of our leadership. My uncle once told me, who was our dear bishop brother, he said, Dave, you could split this church wide open. And I think back to the idealism that I had as a young man as to how church could and should work. And now looking at it 35, 36 years later, I would say this, just a recognition, folks, that we live in a fallen world. And at our very best, we need the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, I've come to believe that if there's ever a place where we need the gospel, it's in the midst of conflict. So often, it seems like as Christians, we look at the gospel as a ticket to heaven. We've received it, we stick it in our back pocket, and we kind of go through life thinking that we'll hand it in at the end of life, just like getting on an airplane, you know, how you give them that ticket, and then you get your seat. And it seems like in the midst of conflict, we often forget the very gospel which we proclaim and which every one of us desperately need. So I guess like young people who are not married and who know how to raise your children, young pastors who have all the answers and who have not lived life, I would say I'm at the stage today where I recognize, it's like Elmer Jancy once said, he said, And I would talk to him often, but he said, you know, we really do believe that the Bible has the answers to life's problems. And I want you to know tonight, I sincerely believe that. But I will tell you, finding those answers and being able to live them out is not always an easy matter. In fact, most times it's a very costly thing, and it costs us our lives in a lot of ways. But I love the church, and I love the brotherhood, and with all the schisms, and with all the divisions that have happened, and with all the scandals that have come through the church, I still believe it's the best thing going, and I believe that in the context of brotherhood, we really discover our greatest joys and blessings of being able to walk through situations that come to us in life. My goal this week, and is to be your servant. I don't feel like I have all the answers. In fact, I would welcome questions, or I would welcome even input during the sessions. It's kind of a teaching session. And I realize that when I tackle this subject, that it's a very delicate subject. It's one that can create a lot of tension in church brotherhoods. My goal is not to do that. I hope by God's grace to be able to provide at least some clarity and understanding. But let me start with this statement. I think that if we as a church would fully understand some of the principles that God has given us about how to do church and how to do brotherhood, we would see a lot less divisions and we would see a lot less conflict in our relationships with each other. And I still believe there's a path through rather than simply reaction and walking away from. So hopefully during this time, this can be a challenge and an encouragement. I've entitled our time together Christian liberty. Y'all like that word, right? Christian liberty in brotherhood relationships, or in the brotherhood. And if you take your sheet, see if this goes on. By the way, my brother-in-law, he's a computer. By the way, some of us are computer immigrants or digital immigrants. Now, some of you young people, you're digital natives, and I don't know how you do it. My daughter could watch and pick it up, and I can watch a lot of times, and I still think computers have a mind of their own. Something like Dave, reminds me of Dave Gibbs. He said one time, how many of you think that the demons went out of the pigs into the sound system? With all of our technology, about the time you want something to work, it seems like that's when it doesn't work. So, as we begin this series tonight, and you've heard this, you have that paper in front of you, kind of a course description, rules, restrictions, limitations, boundaries. I want to be free to make my own decisions, to do my own thing, to live my own life. Why should I listen to mom and dad? Any of you young people ever run away from home? I ran as far as the chicken house one time. You know, you've been mistreated badly by your parents or by your siblings, and you're like, I'll show them. Only it was pretty lonely out in the chicken house, and I didn't last too long. I came back home. But sometimes we struggle. And why should I listen to the church or respect others' conscience? Isn't true freedom the ability to do what I want to do? And so in this class, we want to explore what God's Word has to say about Christian liberty in the context of human relationships. And I'm a people person. By the way, I hope to get to know you through the week. I love people. I love children. Can I just give you my heart? every person created in the image of God is worthy of respect, dignity, and honor. I'm going to tell you something, people. You better be careful how you treat God's property. And I have seen Christians. Wow. We'll look at this verse tonight a little bit. If you bite and devour, take heed that you're not consumed. There's too many Christians who've been consumed. And they're wrapped up in balls of bitterness. And they're topping out on church because of what someone did, what someone said, how someone treated them. In the context of brotherhood. So in this, we want to see what God's Word has to say. We want to discover some principles that will build healthy relationships with those that I rub shoulders with. We want to evaluate our rights. You don't have any rights, do you? Well, I know better. Some of you girls may put a little thing on your bedroom door, stay out. You don't belong in here. To evaluate our rights in light of God's Word, to understand the difference between liberty and license, and to be honest with ourselves in regard to our attitude and our struggles in relationship. In fact, I'll just tell you right away, the three hardest words, but most necessary words in relationships are these three words. I am sorry. I had a dad, amazing man, but I had a dad. By the way, I've had a lot of young people tell me, Dave, my dad has never apologized to me. My dad is never wrong. I want to tell you something. You may be a good parent. You may be a good church leader. But I can assure you there are times that you need to recognize and apologize. Remember this little incident as boys. The neighbor boy was there. We're out playing. He was not from a Christian home. And it was time for us to have lunch. My dad had called us in for dinner, and we didn't come in right away. The neighbor boy just wouldn't leave. That would have been our excuse. And when my dad came out the next time, we knew he meant business. And, of course, we made quick tracks into the house. We're sitting around the dining room. We're sitting around the table getting ready for lunch. And I noticed my dad's head go down before we ever prayed. And he said, boys, I'm so sorry. I should have never responded in the way I did. I'll tell you, we'd have a lot less problem in our homes and in our churches if there'd be people willing to humble themselves and admit what we all know to be true, and that is that we mess up and we need the gospel, we need forgiveness, we need grace in our lives. So we want to look at some of that. I have these glasses here. I've resisted glasses for a year. I started wearing glasses when I was young. Fellow, but my eyes weren't bad enough. So I've learned that when you go to get your driver's license, you can, if you shed a few tears, you can sometimes read the letters and get by without. That's a little trick I had. Actually, my eyes aren't that bad. Sometimes at night, I couldn't see signs very good, but now I'm at the stage I can't see that far away very good, and I can't see close to good. So I have these things that are bifocals. You just can't tell they are. But whatever. First started wearing them, some strange things were happening. I'm doing construction work, and I'm running a skill saw. And through my glasses, I remember checking this skill saw several times because it was cutting on an angle. I was convinced of it. Something's not right. This thing's not square. I finally realized it's my glasses that are doing that. Well, we want to look at brotherhood through several sets of glasses. The lens through which, and by the way, let me just tell us that the lens by which we perceive reality, by the way, for all of us, that's the only lens, because we have the right lens, right? You're it's like the little children come to me at school, hey, Brother Dave, so-and-so did such and such. I said, what did you do? Nothing. Only to check it out and find out that, well, they didn't tell me the whole story. And usually there's several sets of glasses in every conflict. And so we want to look through several of these lenses through this time together. Liberty as seen through the lens of love. Liberty as seen through the lens of rights. These are different views of liberty. Liberty is seen through love. Liberty is seen through rights. Liberty is seen through the lens of bondage. And then liberty that glorifies God. And if you'll take your Bibles tonight for an introduction, I think this is on, right? Liberty has its source in Jesus Christ. I would like you to go with me to Galatians chapter 5. By the way, it was amazing to me, and I don't have time tonight, but if you want to kind of get a foundation for our weekend, read through the book of Galatians. Paul says, I am so surprised that you're removed from the gospel to another gospel. So quickly, you have moved away from the truth of the gospel to another gospel. And Galatians gives to us a foundation of Christian liberty that is actually pretty amazing. Chapter 4, verse 9 says, but now after that ye have known God, or are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days, months, times, and years. And if we would go back to chapter 2, you have Paul talking about Titus, who was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And he says, that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in to privately spy out our liberty in Christ, that they might bring us again into bondage. And then in chapter 5, I just want to take time to read through some of these verses. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. By the way, the entanglement of bondage, and we'll see this, the entanglement of bondage is a lot more than just falling into sin. I have seen a lot of Christians in bondage to things besides falling into sin. And Paul says, I say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. If I were to ask you tonight, how many of you are capable of keeping the whole law? And if I were to ask, how many of you are glad that we have a Savior who is able to keep the law? You understand what we're talking about there. I testify, verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither, get this, this was a challenge back then. Now for us it's not a challenge, but we'll talk about some things that maybe are a challenge. For it says here, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Notice faith and love there. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Go down to verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Now, let me just say right there, that's a very important statement. Do not use liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Now, I don't think Christians set out to crucify each other or to destroy each other, but I can tell you this. There are situations that become so tense in church life, whether it's related to issues or other things, where it's very easy for the flesh to take over. Remember one night two brothers in our congregation had some disagreement with each other. And we tried to bring reconciliation. And I remember they were sitting right up here close to the front. The one brother actually got down on his knees in front of the other one and apologized. The other brother said, "I don't have to put up with this." And he walked out of the church. The rest of us spent most of the night praying for what seemed to be an unreconcilable situation. I'm just simply telling us tonight, hear me well, people. Hear me well. We are Christians, and we are called by the name of Christ. But I can tell you one thing. I have seen some things out of Christians that has the capacity to destroy another person. And it's the occasion of the flesh. It's not that what they are trying to do is wrong necessarily. But you see, when our spirit, when our attitude, when our motivation gets skewed with the flesh, things come out of our mouth, things come out of our actions, things come out of our expression that we don't want to communicate. I remember the one night, Sunday evening, we're having children's meeting. And that particular Sunday evening, the lady who was to have children's meeting didn't feel comfortable getting up. It relates to what we're going to talk about. Didn't feel comfortable getting in front of the men to have children's meeting. So she had requested to have children's meeting downstairs. Let me just say, without knowing much about it, I didn't like it. I was a young pastor at the time, and I really worked hard to keep my children in tow. If you know what that means. Make sure they behave in church. And so the idea of them going out of my care downstairs was not really pleasant to me. So guess what happens? They go downstairs. I'm sitting up here in about the third or fourth bench, but my ears are glued to downstairs. I wasn't hearing anything upstairs, but my ears were downstairs. And sure enough, in the middle of children's meeting, I heard commotion. And it frustrated me. And I got up and walked out of church, went downstairs, got my boys, brought them back up and sat them with me in the pew. My dad came to me after the service. He said, "Dave, do you feel okay about what you did?" I said, "I sure do. I was doing my fatherly duty," said, "taking care of what needed to be taken care of." But we have a lot of people in our community that came to Central, not from Anabaptist background, but there was one family that I noticed they weren't coming to church that much, and they were close to us, and I went over to make a visit with them. Never forget this. Father looked me in the eye and said, "Dave, you remember the night you walked out of church?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I want to tell you something. You were mad." And for the first time, I finally admitted what I knew to be true. And I also knew what I had to do. I had to get back up in front of church and apologize. Even our expressions. I know this as a school teacher. I've had students say, "Brother Dave, you're mad." How did they know that? How about tone of voice? Well, we communicate a lot of things through tone of voice with our husbands and wives and with people in the church. And think of a little poster. There's other ways. We walk down the other side of the aisle so we won't have to meet certain people. You never did that here, I'm sure, but a little poster that was up at Northern Youth Programs with a little cat in a tree, and on the poster it said, "Playing hard to catch." Well, we do that as Christians too. You know, So use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love. Get this, people. Here we go. By love, serve. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. When Bill Byler was ordained bishop at our congregation, Bill and I are the same age. We're 2 months apart to the day. We grew up together. I was ordained in 81. He was ordained, I think, in 91. And we didn't want the church to choose between us for senior pastor. By the way, I am no senior pastor. Ministration and that kind of thing. But he was chosen as senior pastor, bishop of our congregation. And the first We had a Saturday morning men's meeting. The very first morning we were together after that, we were sitting around, a number of us men, and our leader said, well, I think it's about time to begin. And I had noticed that Brother Bill was gone, but I didn't know why. And all of a sudden I looked up, and here came Brother Bill with a basin of water and a towel. He came up to me and said, Brother Dave, I want to wash your feet. He washed my feet and all the rest of the ministry. You know, I've never forgotten that, which set a pattern for our relationship. Serve by love, serve one another. Some people say, well, Dave, how do you love someone if you don't love someone? Or how do you reach out when Well, here's the question. What would you do if you did love them and then go do it? For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And here's this verse. It's one of my verses that I have thought about many, many times. Doesn't sound too good for Christians, does it? It sounds a little bit like cannibalism. I mean, really, why should this happen in the body of Christ? But Paul was talking to believers here. He says, but if you bite, now think about this. How do Christians bite each other? With what? That's what, yeah, it should be. He says, gently. How do you bite gently? If you bite and devour, boy, that sounds, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we're going to, boy, this is a fancy thing. How does this work? Let's see. What's that? The right button. What do I do with it? Just press it. We're going to find out. Oh, it works. I can't believe it. Christian liberty defined. Here's what I'd like us to, by the way, when I talk to Dana about this, I have several ways of doing this. I love for people to take notes. Younger generation, I'm not sure they know how to take notes. No, I'm just kidding. But I tried to make it also easy. Like the handouts would be very little notes. But freedom from the bondage of sin, first of all, Christian liberty. There is no greater freedom than the freedom that comes from having accepted Jesus as your Savior. Now, the word liberty in the Greek means unrestrained, not a slave, exempt from obligation or liability, talking about moral and ceremonial things. But freedom is not the right to do as I please, but the power to do as I ought. And the word entangled has the idea of being held in, or to quarrel. I find this interesting, to quarrel against or to be ensnared. So we have freedom from the bondage of sin, freedom from the bondage of Satan, freedom from the bondage of self. And I think, in fairness to the text, there's a fourth one that should be added, if you have room to put it. It would be freedom from the ceremonial law. Paul talks about that throughout the book of Galatians and other places. But with that is the recognition that once I've experienced liberty as a Christian, freedom from sin, freedom from the bondage of Satan, freedom from the bondage of self, Paul recognizes that it is very possible for a person to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now I'm going to ask a question. In Proverbs it says this, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Let me describe that. You know what bars are these? It says the contentions are like the bars of a castle. You know what bars are intended for? Keep people out. You stop here. And so, if you think about bondage, I want you to think about the bondage that happens in relationships. How many of you know family members that aren't speaking to each other? I've been to a lot of churches. It's amazing. Biological, blood brothers and sisters not able to get along with each other. Talk about bondage. We're talking about it being entangled again in the yoke of bondage. In a brotherhood. Ensnared by sin, ensnared by the flesh, which we already referred to a little bit. Now, here's a big one. This is one of my pet peeves. Ensnared by insensitivity. And if you want to know where we're going in this whole thing of brotherhood is, none of us are an island to ourselves. Listen, you're a part of a body here. Did you know that what you do has an impact on the other members of the body? Did you know that your life has influence, that your life has power, that your words and your actions have an impact on the body of Christ? Now I'm going to tell you, if we could get in our heads, Paul talks about this, but if we could get in our heads that we are a part of a body, it would make a big difference about how we respond. Now, I know part of our problem today, we live in a culture, brothers and sisters, we live in a culture that tells us to be an individual. How many of you have been on the, subway in New York City or any other major city? You know what you see? No one talks to each other. Stone faces. We have become so individualistic in our thinking, in our approach, in our relationships, that it's hard for us to think in terms of body light. So, how is Christian liberty expressed? Well, he says here, stand fast in that liberty. He reminds us that it's held by holding fast and allowing ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God. How many of you have learned that often your first response is not the best response? One of the prayers I had as a teacher, because I am a person with pretty high expectations, one of the prayers I used to have as a teacher is, Lord, somehow help me to take a couple moments to think before I respond to situations. Because often in responding to situations, you respond with the wrong attitude. Remember one day in course, had a few guys that just like to fool around, goof off, have fun. I wanted students to sing. I was fed up with these guys. And I remember the one day, the one guy crossed the line. I said, Johnny, go to the classroom. He stalked off to the classroom. I don't remember a whole lot about that day except that I know that when he went to the... I had this sense from some of the other staff that I probably hadn't done too well. And it didn't take too long for the Holy Spirit to remind me that I hadn't done too well. I remember the next day or a couple days later, I was in the classroom and there I apologized to the class for what I had done. Now, I didn't apologize for the action, but I said the spirit in which I did it was wrong. Let me just tell you, the impact that had on the senior class that year was just amazing. That I was willing to admit what they could all see. If we would stop to think a little bit before we speak, and I would pray, God, please help me to be able to think. I have this little phrase, breathe deep. You ever need that? Now, if you're verbal like I am, now Ellie doesn't need this so much. She generally doesn't respond until later. But if you're like me, it's going to be quick, you know, and so there needs to be this willingness to be led of the Spirit or to be careful. And then Christian liberty expressed through sensitivity in brotherhood relationships. I want to write a book sometime. I don't know if I'll get it done, but we're going to stop there tonight. What I'd like you to do for tomorrow night is I'd like you to take some time and read through Romans 14. Okay, let me tell you where we're going with this so that you have a little bit of an idea. We're looking at Christian liberty from Galatians 5. Then we're going to be looking at Romans 14, which talks about the weak and the strong. By the way, all of you are strong. I know that. None of you are weak. The weaker brother is that other guy. It's not you. Okay, we'll get that straight. Let's get that. No, that's not true, but anyway. No one wants to be weak. Well, let me just raise my hand and say I'm one of the weaker brothers. But read through Romans 14, where Paul talks about, and just might help you with a couple things there. Paul is not addressing, and as Anabaptists, and as Mennonites, and as people who've grown up, and by the way, let me just say, we've grown up with a strong discipleship program, and that's been very good. It really has been. Some of us have struggled because of the high expectations that our parents had over us, that our church leaders had over us. We've struggled with that because we may struggle with feeling like we never measured up or we're never able to be good enough to be saved. But the problem is not in the expectations or the discipleship necessarily. And I hope that as we go through this, you'll be able to see that what Paul's addressing here is not right versus wrong in Romans 14. He talks about meat offered to idols. He talks about holy days. He talks about a lot of things. But what Paul is addressing, and this just blesses me, what Paul is addressing is, how do I relate to Dana when we don't come out at the same place? Yeah. Relationships. How do we work together when we... Do you ever wonder, how did that guy ever come up with that? What in the world? That is so... That's almost like heresy. We really struggle with knowing how to respond to people with different personalities,
different giftings, different preferences, different, by the way, let me remind you, different instructional backgrounds in our homes. I'll tell you what. You grew up in a certain home, and your wife grew up in a different home. What's come through those lenses can create some problems. My dad, my grandfather, you were not on time unless you were at least 15 minutes early. My dad, he's 84. He's still the first one to church, usually about 20 minutes before. And at 84, he's opening up the church and turning the light on. I have to grin. Some things get rooted in you that it's just hard to get rid of it. My uncle's like preaching. See, I'm going to quit, but my uncle drilled that into me pretty strongly. You don't take other people's time. Well, what if your wife grew up in a home where being 5 minutes late was the norm and there's no problem with it? And you're trying to find the happy, some kind of happy. Notice I said happy. You know how we are. Sunday mornings can be a real trip. But then we get to church, we put on a real nice face, and we say, oh, everything's fine. Hello, good morning. But you've just been at it. You know what, brothers and sisters? Seriously, this is where church happens. And you know what's interesting to me? We make a strong case for the integrity of marriage. And we say you should not divorce your spouse. We're not nearly so strong when it comes to the body of Christ or to brotherhood. Now that has some implications, I know. But hopefully you'll come back and we'll talk. Someone asked me, he said, Dave, does God ever lead you to another church? And I said, yeah, he does. But I said, you better be pretty clear about the motivation, reason why you're leaving. So you can study Romans 14. We'll talk about the weak and the strong. And then from there we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, meat offered to idols. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talks about rights. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about the abuses of liberty. And then we want to look at legalism and license. And then liberty that glorifies God. So we'll see where the Lord takes us. And by the way, let me just say, if you have questions or things that you would want to jot down on paper and give them to me, I would certainly welcome that. I'm not sure I'll have the answers for you, but at least like to see the input that you might have. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for tonight. And Lord, I just want to thank you for the body of Christ. I want to thank you for the plan and the purpose you have for the brotherhood. Father, we just confess our need of you. So often the flesh gets in the way in our relationships, and it seems like we struggle with knowing how to live out the gospel in practical, everyday Christian experience and brotherhood. And I pray for this congregation. I pray for each one here tonight. I pray for the families, for the children, for the fathers and mothers, for the grandparents. And I just pray also for the leaders here. Lord, we all need your grace and your strength to be faithful to you. And I pray that you'll go with us through these meetings. And Lord, may you be lifted up and glorified, and may the body of Christ be strengthened. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen.